Well, good morning, Cornerstone family. Good morning. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Callaway. I too would like to add my Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone. I know some of you will celebrate it in a few days. Some of them have celebrated a few days past. What's important is that we really take a moment to stop and to not be distracted. I think Christmas, I don't know about you, but if you feel when it comes to December, everyone starts driving a little more stressed. So I think what's important as Christians is for us to really take a moment and to stop and to think what is really important for Christmas. Christmas is the birth of our Savior, the Lord taking on flesh. And that baby in the manger is the answer to all of your spiritual questions. And that baby in the manger is pointing us to the cross. Let us never lose focus on that. Well, it is my joy to be here again. It's been a minute, but I will ask you to please turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. I've been a little busy with my doctor of ministry. By God's grace, I can slowly see the end of it. There's still a lot to do. I have to write my dissertation, but God has been so kind. And as you are turning there, I just also would like to say this is sort of a New Year's resolution sermon. This hopefully will give you insight into how you can course correct certain things in your life to be the best Christian that you and that God would like you to be. And hopefully to start things right in 2025. We all have things we need to improve on. That's just the process of sanctification. But let me start off, and we're all looking at Genesis chapter 22, but let me give you a few high points. If you're writing things down, I think this is helpful. As Christians, we are never stronger than when we are tested. That every challenge is an opportunity for us to grow in Christ. That obedience becomes a platform for blessing for us and as well as for others. That tests and trials sort of have that way in the long term to enhance our ability to navigate life's transitions. And I promise you, that's what we're going to see today. That you'll never be able to beat discontentment in Christ only when you find contentment. You'll never be able, let me say that again. For the audio, I'm joking. No one's going to fix this. You'll only find contentment when you find true contentment in Christ. That discontentment is so easy, but when you take a step back and when you see how much Christ has done for you, then that's when you have a heart of gratefulness. That life is challenge, victory, and praise. And we're going to see that again. Challenge, victory, and praise. That the Lord is going to give us challenges. And he promises us victory through the cross. And then we have the opportunity to come back and to praise him. And that no man can be defeated. No man or brother or sister in Christ can be defeated if they are battling and fighting on their knees. And I need you to stick with me all the way to the end of this sermon, because I promise you there's a spiritual life lesson that is going to hopefully help you for the rest of your life. So Genesis chapter 22, let us read God's word together. Verse 1. Now it happened after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, now take your son, your only one, whom you love, Isaac, and go forth to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there, and we will worship and we will return to you. Then Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and put it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and put him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of Yahweh called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the boy and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there was a ram after it, and it had been caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, "Yahweh will provide," as it is said this day, "and the mount of Yahweh will be provided." Then the angel of Yahweh called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares Yahweh, because you have done this and have not spared your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have listened to my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and walked together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. These are the very words of God Almighty, and I need you to stick with me all the way to the end of the sermon, because there's something there. I have crafted this sermon for over 25 years, and I think it came to a culmination when I got a flat tire coming off of the 101 a few whiles back. I don't know if you've ever had a flat tire. I don't know if you've ever changed a tire. Maybe perhaps I see some people are nodding. What is the first thing that you say when you get a flat tire? "Oh no, why Lord, why now Lord?" I think that's very normal. But I think the spiritual life lesson for today is for you to take hopefully something from the life of Abraham and for you to stop asking, "Why Lord?" and to say, "Lord, I trust you in this trial and this tribulation." There's a very wise saying, and I think this is a principle that every one of us, especially parents, should hold. If you have children who are going to start driving, and some of you are at that age, it's important for your children to know how to change a flat tire, because flat tires are inevitable, and your children, whoever here, needs to know, and AAA isn't enough. You yourself need to know how to change a tire, because things like that will always happen. And that is the principle, that's our underlying principle for today, that as Christians are saved and converted, they have the conviction of the Spirit, they repent and they turn to Christ, and all the glories of heaven are in this new creation. Trials and tribulations will come. Difficulties will come. And as Christians, we can learn so much through this story for us to be prepared. And that's the whole point of this sermon. And I've sort of plagiarized, if not borrowed, my outline from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Trials bring about perseverance. Perseverance brings about character. Character brings about hope. And hope in Christ will never disappoint. Let me say that again. Trials brings about perseverance. Perseverance, character. Christian, strong character, and the character leads to hope, and hope will never disappoint. My cornerstone family, and it's been a minute, but I really want you to, I want to talk to you, sort of from my heart, that nothing happens to us God's children if it is not filtered through the hand of God himself. And that is why we have ultimate Christian comfort in the sovereignty of God, that God tests us, not to break us, but to make us stronger. That is today's roadmap. And the question is, what do you do when God asks you to do the impossible? What do you do when God is calling you to do something that is absolutely, completely outside of your strength and your means? And just like Abraham was asked to climb a mountain to offer his son as a burnt offering, we too, Christians, are hiking up God's holy hill. And sometimes it's difficult to see over that horizon. Sometimes we can't see what the next step is. But because of our trust in God, because of our reverence in God, because of our love for God, it motivates us to press on, to persevere, even when we don't know why. And that is the question, because an obedient heart will always find the Lord to be faithful. And that is what we're looking at. So trials brings about perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And our hope in Christ will never disappoint. God does not want your tithings or your sacrifices. God wants an obedient heart. And he's going to put us through challenges. He's going to be the victor. And thereafter, we're going to praise him. Let's look at verse number one. Verse number one. Now it happened after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And then he, God said, take now your son. Here you see two main characters. We have Abraham and we have Isaac. How old do you think Abraham was? Abraham was approximately 120 years old. And he is called to climb up a mountain. Can you picture this? Can you picture those who have some knee pain or sciatica pain, that you have to take everything and go up a mountain? But God's word, God's voice was enough for him. And there is nothing more important to obey and to listen and to quickly follow God. Isaac was the miracle baby. Isaac was never supposed to be. How old was Isaac? Isaac was approximately 16 to 20 years old. Isaac would have assuredly heard the stories of his mother and his father of how he would be, through Isaac, a blessing to the entire world. And notice, God's word reads, your only son whom you love. This is Abraham's only legitimate son. And the whole narrative wouldn't make sense if there wasn't something worth of sacrifice. Abraham loved his son Isaac. And that's why when God calls us to sacrifice, when God calls us to be obedient, there's always a cost. Abraham knew at the onset of this trial that there would be a very high price to pay. But I want you to really focus on this part, verse number two. Because I had personally missed this in the beginning. Verse two. And go forth to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Who is orchestrating all of this? Who is the one who is directing Abraham? God is the one who's saying, I want you to go on a mountain range, a specific mountain range, and there I will tell you exactly where and what time I want you to perform this burnt offering. It's as if someone or God will tell you, I want you to walk into the ocean. And when I get there, I'm going to tell you specifically which beach. You're just trying to be faithful. Whenever you hear a mountain, you can see this is a place set apart by God. And Abraham is called there to have an encounter with God. And a place of sacrifice, and as well as a place of a covenant. I love mountains. Every single opportunity we get, we go up to the Angeles Crest. There are mountains that are 7,000 feet. There are mountains that are 10,000 feet. I've always dreamed of, and maybe, don't make fun of me, I had always hoped to climb a mountain. And I remember many years ago, this was around 20 years ago, the president of our financial company said, I am going to climb Mount Everest. Mount Everest is 25,000 feet elevation. And everyone was just completely humbled and shocked. Until I did a little bit of research and learned that it's going to cost him $100,000. You see, he was going to go, but he was going to go with an entire team. There's licensing fees. You have to get the equipment. It's an entire expedition. Here you see Abraham is being called to climb up, to hike a holy mountain by himself with his son and two of his personal helps. There's no joy in what Abraham is called to do. He just needs to be humble and steadfast. And as he gets there, he knows there's a very tall, high cost, a burnt offering of his son. Cornerstone, if God calls you to do something, you have to be ready to listen. When God calls you to do the impossible, we immediately humble ourselves and say yes. Because if the cost, if there isn't a cost, if there isn't a sacrifice, then that is not going to be worth anything. Here you see Abraham is asked or tasked of something so personal. He loves his son. And I only have one son. And I could not imagine myself doing this to my son. But God is testing Abraham with the very thing that God himself promised as his will in his life. That is where this whole story is such a fascinating story. And the depths of the truths of God's word are so deep. God is the one who's orchestrating everything. This is the sovereign hand of God protecting and guiding his chosen servant. In the same way that Abraham must have surely asked, is this fair? I too have to ask you, Cornerstone, my family, when God calls upon you and God tests you, is it fair? And I need you to rest on that. Because the answer to that question is, it is absolutely fair. It is fair and it is necessary. God is not testing us for himself, but he is testing us for ourselves so that we will see his holy hand, his holy, holy, holy hand guiding us constantly. And this is where you can see that the test is not just for us. Sometimes in life we have to take a moment and just remove ourselves from our small little view of our lives and see that we are part of a bigger picture, that we are part of the church. And tests and trials are not just for us, but it is our example, how we navigate through this, that the church sees and is strengthened. The sovereignty of God is a Christian's ultimate comfort. And I think this would make a great dissertation topic. And I think, Lord willing, this will be my dissertation topic. That when God puts us through trials, we can see he's there and he's helping us. And the question that comes down to all of us here, in what way has God has personally tested you? In what way is God molding you to become a better Christian, a better version of you? Because I promise you, and this is what we see in God's text, everything is sweeter during the trial. Because the things that would normally make, would be distractions or of importance, they're just noise. Within the trial, it is just you and the Lord. Now let's go back to our 120-year-old Abraham in verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning. Notice, complete, immediate obedience. There is no negotiation. There's no argumentation. There is nothing. He just gets up and goes to task. This is where I always say the morning principle. And perhaps this might be a quick little focus of 2026, perhaps the first New Year's resolution. If you want something done and accomplished today, then you got to do it the first thing in the morning. If you want to have that special, daily personal Bible study between you and the Lord, then you need to set the time and you need to do it the first thing in the morning. Before you touch anything of electronic, before you touch anything with a battery, touch your printed Bible so that you can read it and you pray and you confess your sins to the Lord. And that is a fight worth fighting for. So perhaps that is one New Year's resolution. There will be more, I promise. Abraham saddles his donkey. Sarah must have been there. She would have known there's something different. She would have seen other sacrifices. She would have seen that something was off with her husband. She would have noticed immediately that there wasn't a burnt offering. Abraham takes two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And notice this, 120-year-old Abraham, he himself chops the wood for the burnt offering. That is his resolute devotion to God. And arose and went to the place of which God had told him. You see, Abraham didn't know in 2025, December, on the verge of 2026, that we would be here studying this. But he was just trying to be faithful. That's why when we are being tested, at some point you have to see that we are a public testimony for the church as well as an entire world. And we need to see from Abraham that real faith demands real immediate obedience. And when you go through a trial, when you are being pressured down and when you see the yoke and you know it's hard, that you are not walking slouched down, but you are walking as if you are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not looking down, but you're looking up, because that's where you know, that's where you have the courage from God. Abraham understood challenge brings about victory. Victory, praise. We're going to get to the Romans chapter 5. We'll get to that. And that you'll never be able to beat discontentment without finding true and complete contentment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our obedience and faith makes us, helps us go through the valleys of darkness. And it has that Christian ability to navigate through life's transitions. There's a brother in Christ that we know, and many of us are praying for him. Faithful man, had a good job. His boss asked him to do something illegal. He had one single response. He said, "No, I can't do it." And he quit. He went from having a well-paying job to working from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. every single day, except Sunday, because he's at church with us here today. That is what someone who has been tested understands God's calling, that there's a line in the sand, there's a line in the ground that Christians cannot pass. And when we are called to pass that line, we just say no, because we understand trials brings about perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope will never disappoint us. And that no man can ever be defeated when he is praying and he is fighting on his knees. Having seen now that we go into faith, we go by faith, let's look at the amazing faith of Abraham and how he pushed and persevered. And that he remembered, and also this is a life learning lesson for us, that trials are only for a season. So when you enter into trial, you have to have that mindset that one day that trial will end by the grace of God. Verse 4, on the third day, here you see Abraham has been walking for 3 days now. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from a distance. You have to imagine the dread of Abraham, that sinking feeling. It's a tough road. There's rocks. It's long. God is breaking Abraham. God is humbling Abraham. In the same way that Marines are broken to be made anew, to be made stronger, that is what God is doing. Puritans would call it a desperate sense of relaxation. That whatever you're going through, you have that calm, that inner peace, but also knowing that there's a level There's a sense of desperation. Abraham knows that he does not have a sacrifice with him. He's known that for 3 days. But there's only one thing on his mind. Take that next step. Verse 5. And Abraham said to his young man, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy," or a teenage boy, "go over there and we will worship and we will return to you." Here you see that "we" in the Hebrew is absolutely plural. There is no doubt in his mind that he is going to go there, worship, and he is going to come back. Abraham is holding on to something. What is he holding on to? He's holding on to the promises of God. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. And if you'd like to mark this, to go back and reference it. And he brought him outside and said, "Now look towards the heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them," he said, "so shall your seed be." If he is his only one true legitimate son, if Isaac is that seed. And we also know this refers back to the Abrahamic covenant. This refers back to Genesis chapter 3:15. And if I have time, I'd like to touch on that, but that's an entire new sermon. Because Abraham believed in Yahweh, and he counted it as righteousness. Faith comes through righteousness. For Abraham, God's word was enough. Abraham was holding tight to God's promises. And here you see, what do you hold on to when nothing makes sense in your life? At some point, you will have a flat tire in your Christian life. Are you holding on to God's promises? Are you, and perhaps this is a second New Year's resolution, and this question, I've asked this question to many of you, and this question is not meant to highlight weaknesses in your Christian life, but this question is really meant to just for you to take a moment and see, where are you in your walk with the Lord? Because the chief means of God's grace is found in his word. In the last 30 days, and this question is going to set everything clear. In the last 30 days, how often have you read God's word? I've asked this question to many of you in this room. And the best thing about God's grace is we can always do better. For those who have been reading 30 days out of 30, praise the Lord, continue on. For those who have read 25 out of 30, perhaps 2026, you can have a little bit of a tighter reading plan. In the morning when you wake up, you can be a little more diligent. For those who have read perhaps 15 out of 30, well, this is the time to reset things. And perhaps there are some here today who have never opened up God's word. Perhaps there are here some today who have always thrown away or have rejected God's grace. This would be the day to just take a moment and say, can you really accomplish your life by your own strength? Or have you reached rock bottom and you need God's wide and infinite grace? God's grace is wide. It covers so much, and it is infinite. But today is the day of salvation. Do not let this time go by. Coming back to Abraham. Abraham has an understanding of what's happening. He knows he's not there yet. He knows he's walking by faith. He knows that God's sovereignty is the ultimate source of comfort. He knows that this trial will produce in him a perseverance and a character and a hope that will never disappoint. Then Abraham, verse 6, took the wood of the burnt offering and put it on Isaac. Imagine how strong Isaac must have been to be able to take a hold of all this wood on his back. He puts it on him, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. The knife would have been a rusted knife, nothing perfect. The fire would be a fire that you would start. He would have started at the bottom of the mountain, because fire on top of a mountain is almost impossible to do. So you start the fire, and then he would constantly be feeding that fire with him. So when he gets up there, he has what he needs. And this was a question we had in our family devotional time. What do you think Abraham and Isaac were doing as they were walking up by themselves? I think assuredly they were just praying and praising God. They were praying with every single step. What were they praying for? For strength, for fearlessness, for boldness, for resilience, for courage. And I think that's what we all need to be praying for. And that is why prayer, and I've said this many times from this pulpit here, and I don't know if many of you know, this is where we have our Armenian outreach ministry. This pulpit, I haven't preached in English from this pulpit in over a year, but we have by God's grace, and we're just so privileged. This is where we preach in Armenian to our group. And please continue to pray for us. You saw Pastor Hovig. The Lord is doing something so kind and amazing. And please join us in prayer. And the question now that just coming back off of my little tangent. How is your prayer life? If we say, and I've said before, prayer is the breath of the Christian. That it is just so normal for a Christian to open up God's word, to read, and then to pray what's on your heart. And perhaps this would be a third New Year's resolution for you to take some time and to really have sort of a prayer summit. Prayer summit, what is a prayer summit? Prayer summit is when you just go away, just somewhere, and you take nothing that needs charging. All you need is just your Bible and perhaps a notebook, and you spend time reading and praying so that you can see when you are pouring out your heart to a Heavenly Father who loves you, He's there and He listens. Every single step that Abraham takes, he is prayerfully taking it, not sure of what's happening. But then this question, and this is a heartbreaking question, verse 7. Then Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" You see, Isaac is a teenager. If he's around 16 to 20 years old, Isaac would have been much stronger than Abraham. Isaac would have been able to overpower Abraham. But Isaac is listening to his father because he loves his father and he trusts his father. I also have the privilege of being the Grace Academy campus pastor. And I know some of you are part of our Grace Academy family here. And they ask me, what is the most important thing you need to instill and teach your children? And I say, this is sort of my little short summary sentence. For them to trust in God and for them to trust in you. And that your life is pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Parents, or soon-to-be parents, or those who want to get married, make sure you spend time with your children. Make sure, fathers, that you are really investing your time in your children because it just goes so fast. Isaac loved his father, and the father would have surely spent time with his son, having done many burnt offerings. And you see Isaac's willingness to listen and to trust. And Abraham said, and look at this answer of faith, verses 8 and 9. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. They are blindly walking by faith, having had the hope in Christ, having seen the faithfulness of God in the past, having the benefit of hindsight, having seen God being so faithful to them every single step of the way. They are walking, knowing that trials bring about perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and that our hope is not a blind hope. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at what is a strong Christian character, having been molded by the trials of life. And I need you to really pay close attention here at the second part of verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. I think that is where the whole sermon, that's where all of God's text has to pivot. God is the one who is orchestrating all this. They've been going up this mountain. They've been hiking up God's holy hill, but they arrived at the exact place and at the exact timing that they themselves have wanted. Sovereign God is where Christians get their ultimate comfort. If you are going through a trial, if you are going through something that you need, that is absolutely outside of your strength, outside of your control, in the same way that Abraham was trusting in sovereign God, you too can also trust in him. You see, powerful men think they are in charge. But ultimately, God is in charge. And this is where I have to bring the Christmas message. 2,000 years ago, and Luke records this in chapter 2, Caesar Augustus, he thought he was himself God. He was the one who orchestrated an entire global census to fill up the coffins of Rome, to get taxes, to count exactly how many people were in every single city. But God was the one who was in back of him. He was the true King of Kings. God was in control, and God was the one orchestrating all of this for his glory and to bring his son at the exact appointed place in Bethlehem, all for ourselves. Caesar thought he himself was God. Did you know that Caesar would require and demand worship of himself? But behind Caesar, you have God, and God is God. God is in charge, not Caesar. In the same way that our country, God is still in charge. God is ruling and reigning sovereignly and supremely over everything. And verse 9, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and then put him on the altar on top of the wood. And now we come to the most challenging part of the sermon. This is verse 10. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. No one is laughing now. Every time you think of Sarah, you think of Sarah, how she laughed when the angel of the Lord said, you will have a son in your old age. It's also fascinating that Abraham himself also laughed in Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Abraham is bare. He is humbled. There is nothing. And this is where we come to the climax of the story. This is where the prayer time is over. And now it is only action. He has removed any shred of pride. Abraham is willing to do anything and everything to please God. Why? Because fear and reverence for Yahweh. There is now only obedience, and obedience always has a cost. And that is where the whole entire process of sanctification comes. Sanctification is just a simple, not a simple, just a complicated word that says becoming more and more like the Son. This is where, as Christians grow, that trials and testing are required for us, because it is hollowing out the flesh. It is carving out our character. And in one sense, we are suffocating our pride to have a deeper sense of identity in Christ, and for us to have a clearer sense of discerning God's holy voice through his word. But God's calling will never call you to break his commandments. God's calling will always be within his reign and rule. And that's where you see the hope we have. And our hope is seen in verse 11. But the angel of Yahweh called to him from heaven. And remember, he's calling him from heaven. Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. You see, God remembered Abraham. In the same way that God remembered Noah. And we've been studying Noah with the children. God created in Genesis 1 through his word. And then every single intent of humans was sinful. That's Genesis 6. God said, I will destroy the entire world, Genesis 7. There was so much water. Water was coming from the clouds, and water was coming from underneath. There was an entire expanse and earthquakes. Imagine it was Noah. How many people were in the Ark of Noah? There was only 8 people. And I think it was the most frightening when the sound of the cries just quieted and it was just complete quietness. But when you get to Genesis chapter 8, it says, God remembered Noah. And in the same way, God here remembers Abraham. And the joy we have is that God will always remember you, his children. Verse 12. And he, the angel, said, do not stretch out your hand against the boy and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God. And that's the key word, fear God, since you have not withheld your son. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and must have been soaked and drenched with tears, flowing down. And behold, there was a ram after it. It had been caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went, he willingly went, and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering. Cornerstone, I need you all to look at me. I just have a few more minutes. Doesn't matter what you're going through, there is always hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only hope in Jesus Christ. Where did the ram come? This was a God's grace, God-appointed ram. This was not just a lost ram. There wouldn't be any lambs on top of a mountain. God directed them at that specific time because a ram would be there. And obviously, this is the entire substitutionary death. This is where we can see that Christ came and took our stead, died in our place on the cross. Let me ask you this question. During Passover, how many lambs do you think were sacrificed every single Passover? 10,000, 50,000, 100,000. It was 150,000 lambs. If you would take that number and multiply it by 3, if you take that number and multiply it by 1,000,000, it still wouldn't be enough. That's why we needed the perfect lamb. And that perfect lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who came, having never sinned in his life, died a horrendous death, took our place so that we would be able to say his righteousness is what covers us. God is the one who provides all things, and obedience leads to the outcome. Obedience must always be left to the outcome of God's hand. What would have happened if Abraham would have plunged that knife into his son, if he would have indeed sacrificed his son? We have the perfect biblical godly commentary in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 and 9. Abraham, he knew in his heart that God would resurrect his son. Our faith must always look beyond what we can see. We are oftentimes too nearsighted in our Christian walk. We have to be trusting and looking forward. And in the last 5 minutes that I have, I want to look at our last point, verses 15 to 19. Then the angel of Yahweh called to Abraham a second time from heaven, and he said, by myself I have sworn, declares Yahweh, because you have done this thing and have not spared your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is in the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have listened to my voice. Here you see that obedience has secured God's promise. This is the entire Abrahamic covenant, where God's blessing will reach the Gentiles, or as to us. And that through this single act of obedience, the blessing of the cross is not just reserved for one single nation, but has been offered to the entire world. And that is why, if you'd like to have a last New Year's resolution, for you to really take a moment and say, before you reach your family for New Year's Eve, would you kindly pray for them? For that as you are praying, you're asking the Lord to prepare the path to sow that gospel seed. This is the good news. Christmas is the easiest time to give the gospel. It's the greatest invitation. So as before you meet with your family, be prayerful and pray that the Lord may open up opportunities for the gospel. And now I come to my last point, and I come to sort of the high point. And coming back to verses 15, and I did rush the last few verses, and I apologize. Then the angel of Yahweh called to Abraham a second time from heaven, and he said, "By myself I have sworn, declares Yahweh." Question to you, can an angel swear by himself? Absolutely not. Only God can swear by his own name. This was not just any angel. This was the angel of the Lord, Malak Yahweh. This was Jesus himself incarnate. You see, God had called Abraham to come to this specific point in this specific time for this specific test and trial. And God was with Abraham at that moment. Whatever you're going through, Cornerstone, the trials and difficulties in your life, know that God is always with you and God will never abandon you. So today we saw trials brings about perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope, and our hope shall never disappoint. As Christians, we are never stronger than when we are tested, and that every challenge is an opportunity for us to grow. We go through challenges to see the victory of Christ, and through that victory in Christ, we praise Him. It is a cycle of praise that we have through the trial, an enhanced ability to navigate life's transition, and obedience becomes a platform for blessing. Let me end with this final illustration, and I hope this is going to shape the entire sermon. 2 weeks ago, if not three, I think 3 weeks ago, I had the misfortune to have to crawl under our home. Who has ever gone under their home? Okay, you know it is not pleasant. You know it's tight, it's dark. There's assuredly spiders under our home. There was broken glass, there was nails. I went underneath the guys to take a picture of our shower pan. I want to tell you, every single second I was there, I was praying, "Lord, get me out of here." By God's grace, I was able to crawl all the way to the other side. I went, I took 3-4 pictures, and then I left. God was kind and gracious. You see, that is sort of where the sinner is. Because hell is sort of that dark place. Hell is not a place where you can pray yourself out of. And how serious is one single sin in the life of the sinner, that one day hell will be taken up and thrown into the lake of fire. That is how holy, 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 thrice holy God is. Everyone here, please take a moment and understand that is the God we worship. And today is the day of salvation. Would you kindly surrender your life to Jesus? Because you will not be able to say, "Lord, help me get out of this dark crawl space." Today is that day to turn to Jesus. Would you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you and we know there are real needs in our fellowship group. We know, Lord, that your word says in Psalm 119, "It is good for me that I was afflicted so that I may learn your statutes." Help us, Lord, to remember the fear of the God in every single step of our lives. As we are all hiking up God's holy hill, we pray for strength. We pray for boldness, for resilience. We pray, Lord, through everything that we're going through, that we always have a heart that is grateful. Strengthen us, Lord, in the midst of our hardships, our suffering, those who are being persecuted and their family or at work. Give them the strength. And Lord, for those who still do not know Christ, for those who are still cold to Christ, for those who have not seen your holiness, your justice, we are just so grateful that on the cross, the Father's anger has been spent on his Son. Would you please change hearts today for them to have a confession that is connected with the commitment to Christ, that they turn from their sins and follow the Savior. Lord, would you please finish this sermon in everyone's heart. We entrust everyone's soul here to you, and we just are so grateful. And we pray all of this in the precious and matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name alone we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Happy 2026.